I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Good morning. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I'm Andrew McKay. And Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. I feel like that music always sets us up for happy success. Like, it de-escalates whatever tension was in the air when we bring on our congressman. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Jimmy? No? Is he there? I cannot hear him.
I'm here. Good morning.
Huh? You can hear him in your head? Okay, so
I can hear you.
We have this really weird thing with the way that my...
I can hear you.
There we go. Okay.
I can hear you.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Jimmy. I have a piece of technology that I use that was bought at a flea market for $4. I don't know. It's so frustrating. And it always gets screwed up over the weekend. So first interview on a Monday morning is when I find out whether it's working or not. Anyway, sorry about that. It's my fault. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Great to be with you.
So speaking of setting up for success. Okay, so shutdown, people may not know. Even I didn't. I asked you off the air. Are you here? Are you there? You're back. You're home, right? You're in district.
I'm in district. And this is the way that myself and a lot of us feel. The House did our job. We passed a clean CR. I mean, literally, this is an extension of the last budget that was passed under Biden, okay? Or CR passed under Biden. So this is, our job's been done. Now it's a matter for the Senate to get their act together.
So, I mean, there's nothing for you guys to do until the Senate unlocks themselves, basically, right? You've done your job, you passed this continuing resolution, and you're just waiting for them.
Correct.
All right. Any indication that this is going to happen anytime soon? I mean, I asked the same thing last week. I'll probably ask you the same thing next week. I mean, do we have any indication that this is going to be over?
I think as long as the government shut down, and now some people, well, I'll say this, a lot of people, when they see me, they stop me and they say, hold the line. They don't want to see any more spending push forward through any type of modified CR. I've yet to hear anything but that type of support from the district. I think the concerns are until there's probably a turning point moment with the Democrats in the Senate, that they may continue to hold on. Don't forget, the harder Chuck Schumer digs in, the harder his state of New York cheers him. So
we're waiting for them to figure it out, I guess. Okay. No Kings protests over the weekend, so-called No Kings protests. I think it's funny that you can protest against despotism and tyranny in a place where the despot tyrant allows you to protest against him. It's not typically what you'd see, like, in, say, Tehran or Pyongyang. So,
love the fact that we have a freedom of speech, and at least by all indications, people behave themselves. At least I didn't see any outbursts of violence that were covered by the national media. So, but if there was violence, they wouldn't show it anyway. So.
Well, I think there was just a couple of minor, and I think there was tear gas used in LA or something, you know, but, you know, for millions of people out protesting the president, for there to only be a couple of incidents, you know, it seems like a win. I do think it's weird that the people staging these demonstrations were bragging about the fact that they were peaceful, which, I mean, you kind of take that as granted. The Constitution protects peaceful assembly. It does not protect unpeaceful assembly. It'd be like me going on the radio and bragging how I didn't defame anybody today. Like, you know, right. Like I didn't break any laws today. So it's a weird thing to, but I guess people were predicting that there was going to be violence. And so I guess they feel like they have to justify the fact that there wasn't, right?
Yeah, it's just like bragging that, hey, I got up out of bed this morning and, you know, I brushed my teeth.
Right.
So, wow.
Look at me today. No murders. Woohoo. You know, it's kind of an odd thing to flex about. I did want to ask you about speaking, because we're in this realm. There are things that President Trump does that give me worry. Lots of things that President Trump does that give me worry. And seeing him or the Department of Justice with or without his input, seeming to go after people like, you know, Letitia James and James Comey and now John Bolton. And I know that each case is its own case, but these things concern me. I mean, the perception that it's retaliation against political enemies should never be, that should never be the case.
I think, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. And I think you've got a series of political persecutions against Trump that arguably I fought against. I thought they were out of line. Now you see them being overturned in the courts. And so now you've got, you know, people are pointing out things that these individuals have done that were technically against a law. I don't know all the laws are being there exactly being charged. So you know what? They'll have their day in court. But I think it's important to note that a lot of this work's being done in a grand jury in Virginia, which is not known to be a bastion of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And this is juries of their peers that are doing these indictments. So, I mean, it's about as fair of a process as you would hope to be able to be presented, even if you were, you know, perceived as a political enemy.
On X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, you had a couple of very interesting posts in the last day or two. One was you wrote, "I'm done with NIL, name, image, likeness. Enormous pots of money thrown at high school kids is destroying college football. Amateur athletics is getting poisoned. If they want to be paid, go straight to the NFL." So this was brought about because the athletes felt like they were not being taken care of by the colleges and they were having their likenesses abused without any compensation. You think we've swung too far, or what? I mean, what's your kind of, what's your solution to the problem?
I totally think we swung too far. One, I think pick a date certain in the future, ideally at least a minimum of 4 years from now, so nobody is disenfranchised. And then this thing sunsets. You go back to the way it was. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know, but I think free room and board, free education, free national, in some cases maybe international exposure, all these things have enormous value, especially if you're considering taking yourself to the next level. So I know there's people saying, oh, well, these kids are being taken advantage of and exploited. Well, I do think that individual decided that's where they wanted to go. And by the way, everything they're being given to for free is worth tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially based on whatever medical assistance, expertise, sports training is going along with their ability to perform on that field. Now, if we want to create some type of opportunity for a stipend, some type of deferred compensation after they leave school at a certain age, I'm fine for all of that. But these young men and women are not mentally capable of managing the type of money that's being thrown at them, and you're just ruining them. You're ruining young lives at an early age. Maybe there'll be an evolution, but you know, as I see it, I look at what, you know, I spent a lot of time in fiscal literacy when I was a CFO, and it's a never-ending battle to help young men and women understand the magnitude of managing their budget, let alone when you're throwing millions of dollars at them.
Oh, man, it's like basic Dave Ramsey stuff. The best way to ruin a person who can't handle a small budget is give them a big budget, right? I mean, that's the single best way to ruin them. You know, you bring up something in your mentioning that it should be done away with in 4 years. Gives me a second to kind of, I don't know, jaw with you a little bit about something. It's long been my view that every piece of legislation, every single one, should come with two basic elements. Number one, a sunset date, that this only is 100%. In place until 5 years, 10 years, some specific date. And number two, a set of criteria. You know, these are the criteria for evaluating whether it was successful or whether it was not. And you can always, you know, you can always renew it if it's successful, but we get into, I always think of, like, Vietnam as my Amen. Illustration. We get into a war with no objectives, no end date. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how we're fighting it. And that was a problem. And the same thing with legislation. We just add these laws, no criteria for evaluation, and no need to come back and revisit whether they're working or not. Thoughts?
No, hey, I 100% in lockstep on you with that. Every great idea that has become an agency, a law, or a function of government, what happens is whoever was that originator of it, they die, they leave, they get beat. And then it becomes this massive, out of control, poorly managed bureaucracy because nobody has the vision or appetite to do what it was originally intended to do. I think every special district, everything should have a forced sunset to have to go out and prove to the public that it deserves still to exist and that their mission is still worthwhile or that law still. But, and look, Granted, I know there can be an extreme case, like let's take murder, for example. And I would think murder, if somebody files a bill that I want to renew the murder law, I'm sure without any hesitation, it would get renewed.
Right. The things that should be renewed will renew. The things that should be questioned will be questioned. And the things that should die off of the vine will die off of the vine. I mean, that's, you know, that's the idea. It's a kind of zero-based budgeting when you apply it to legislation. Hey, on the NIL thing, just a follow-up question on that. So what do you think about having the transfer portal be so easily available for all these student athletes? I mean, that the free agency within college sports to me is one of the problems. But then again, I see Bo Nix goes from Alabama to Oregon. He thrives. He goes to the NFL. I mean, I see the advantage too.
So I think with NIL, they have one free transfer per college career. And then they're stuck. Now, if they want to transfer a second time, then they have to give up a year of eligibility. Or then they have to, and that giving up that 1 year eligibility may be they redshirt. So you give them some tools to make that flexibility. But, man, you're one and done, okay?
Yeah.
You can't go and just chase the dollars because this school's giving you $8 million and this one's going to give you 10. You made the decision just because your athletic ability excelled at the $8 million college, yeah, you'll get that one chance to move and get 10 somewhere else. But, you know, I think the dollars have poured gas on the NIL problem and exacerbated it.
Yeah, put some guardrails in. That makes sense to me. Hey, last thing, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. You also posted a thing yesterday on Twitter X where you said you want to personally thank Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, for blowing up Venezuelan drug cartel boats and submarines. I have two boys. You're right. I have two boys, and with every blown-up boat, I see less American boys and girls dying of fentanyl. You and I have talked a little bit about the justification for the use of force, the criteria, making sure that we're not just killing people indiscriminately and all of that. But this is a pretty hot take by you that, you know, hey, fewer drug boats is fewer people dying from fentanyl.
I look at it as the United States is the single largest market for illegal drugs that put more lives at risk than anywhere else in the world. So if Donald Trump takes the intelligence that they're getting and makes those decisions that these are boats bound for the most lucrative, rich market in the whole world, and we deter them from coming through force, then you know what? We're saving lives. You know what? That means that's less kids being responded to by 911 calls by our first responders. That's less fentanyl. That's less emergency rooms. And that's less broken hearts. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is bad. And I'm not, I never voted for any level of any type of expansion of the recreational marijuana. So, people say, oh, well, you'll support gateway drugs. I don't support gateway drugs. I don't support drugs, period. Hell, I hardly even drink a beer. So, I mean, all I just know is that stuff leads to bad outcomes. And if we set it back 10, 15 years, 5 years, all those are lives we're saving every day.
What are we doing in Central and South America right now? And I ask that because we've got Venezuela, which we seem to be on the verge of going to war with or close. We have Argentina, which we're bailing out with tens of billions of dollars. We have now Colombia has become a center point in the news. And, you know, I mean, I know Marco Rubio is very emphatic about Central and South America. He always has been, and I appreciate that about him.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as an average American, you know, you don't hear anything about Central and South America, but once a decade, and here we are on like three major things going on. What's your perception? What's going on here in Trump's mind?
Well, I think you've had 4 years of an administration that was in place where a lot of things were allowed to grow at an exponential rate, and so different than those human trafficking and drug and gun smuggling operations that exploded during the Biden years when the border was open. And now it's time to trim the bushes. It's time to put those operations back and where they're at, where they don't have this ability just in the next 4 years, if the administration changes, that somebody allows those guys to just spring up their operations again overnight because they're sitting there laying in wait in other Central American or South American countries. You know, I think it's President Trump trying to set these guys back a generation.
So it's partially it was neglected. Partially it's just a matter of, you know, where there's areas of influence that have languished. Would you put it in the context of like the Panama stuff with China, that it's all, you know, we got to take care of our own backyard if we're going to be safe from foreign influence? I mean, it's kind of all of that packaged together. Is that how you view it?
All the above. And again, and I'm just coming off the top rail with what Jimmy feels like is is the lay of the land there. I've not gotten any briefings on it, but I just know what I saw firsthand and understood firsthand at the southern border in Texas last year, and I was blown away by what was taking place. And unfortunately, here's the other thing that happens is the amount of cash that is flowing through these markets to get to the U.S. border. And then you get to the point where even there are instances where those people in that process along those borders are getting paid off. So you know what? You've got to knock these guys back. You know what? They you'll never get rid of them, but you can't allow their operations to be so robust where they can pay off every individual in their path in order to get to the most lucrative market in the whole world, which is the United States that kills our kids.
Or threaten them, you know, either way, right? You know, and I get it. It's if you're going to really take seriously the threat from drugs, then you don't just push back by putting up a wall. You push back all the way into the origin source and, you know, try to dismantle some of the networks that make that happen. I see that. I see that picture. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida's District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, as always, great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. Actually, I think we'll see you in studio on Friday, so looking forward to that.
Friday, yeah. So we're going to take some live questions. Are you going to be able to manage that?
Oh, no, yeah, of course. Absolutely. I promise we'll make the technology work on my $4 flea market part of work. I promise.
Be nice to the boss. He's just keeping you up and running. And
he is. They definitely are. Jimmy, we'll talk to you on Friday, sir. Thanks for the time.